My brother, you freely to talk to us.
I'm getting there. God richly bless you. Shall we thank the Lord? Father, your grace is sufficient for all of us. We thank you for your uncommon favor, your grace, your so faithful Lord. We bless your name. Amen. God richly bless you. I just want us to have a heart-to-heart sharing of the word and understanding of a vision today. We are going to deflect a bit from intimacy with God into intimacy with the vision in a church for change. What is for change in Afrikaans? Verandere. Okay, there's just this one thing that we got to acknowledge amidst us. There are two churches, not too many. There are two churches. There's a church owned by people, and there's a kingdom church. The two are different. There's a church run by people, and there's a kingdom church. The two are very much different. It looks like we are going to churches all over, but we can't spot the difference. Now, today I want us to share about understanding a kingdom-based church where Christ is the King. I'm going to review my old teachings I gave some 2014, somewhere there, about the three Josephs. And I believe Holy Spirit will have refreshed it today, so that we understand where are we going to. You know, in a church setup where God moves, we got to understand that leadership dynamics changes. We don't want God for a season. We don't want God on a conference or during a conference. We don't want God because we've invited this vibrant speaker or preacher. We just want God to be comfortable in our midst. Come on. And for that to happen, we got to understand one thing. We must be a kingdom-based church. And a kingdom-based church, it's a different church from, what do you call? A man-made church. A man-made church has too much effort going on. A kingdom-based church is a church operating on kingdom principles. And then now, we will understand it when we study the life of Joseph. Come on. Praise the Lord. I want us to get into the vision of a kingdom of heaven and a vision of a human-based church. There's too much human effort where church is run by people. And Holy Spirit doesn't dwell there. He can't pay invitation because it's not Christ church or Christ ministry. It's owned by people and they run it their way outside the kingdom's will. You know? And in most of the cases, many churches start very powerful, but we lose this. And then drag the church into a man-made organization. We can run it. We are academics. We understand leadership. But there's one thing about leadership. What brings the difference in any leadership of any church is the presence of the Lord and His agenda. Where Holy Spirit has a voice, not where Holy Spirit is suppressed. Now, let's start it. I want us to share about Joseph. And in church, we need not too many different gifts and all those things. We know there are 9 gifts. There are gifted people. There are only this and this and that. But we need a ministry of a Joseph. And from the character of Joseph, we'll understand where will the church or how far the church will go. Can I shock you? It's not how anointed you are that really matters in a church. It's not how gifted you are that matters. In a ministry or a church, gifted and anointed doesn't mean you can go any further. It's a kingdom-based program run by the Holy Spirit, running as an oiled machinery, highly organized by Him. That will be a church of distinction. Not to say there's competition, but everybody will see there's life there. And that's where we must start. That's where we start. Joseph, I want us to study the life of Joseph. And then after that, I want to check how many Joseph do I have here to run this organization. Now, let's check the 12 sons of Jacob. That's Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Isaac, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. And there was a little sister there, Dinah, the little sister who was highly protected by the 12. Right? The only sister. Now, Israel loved Joseph, that is Jacob. Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. Verse 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamt a dream. And he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Now, let's check on this Joseph. Who's Joseph in the ministry? He was more of a prophet within the family. And how I wish I was a Joseph, but I'm not. I'm not a Joseph. Joseph is not a warrior. He's not a man of war. I'm a man of war. Joseph is not. Now, I want to share this so that you understand it vividly. You can't run a church without a Joseph. Your Bible has 66 books, ne? And 3 Josephs. Only 3 Josephs. The first one of the 12 tribes. The 12 brothers. The second one, the stepfather to Christ. The third one, the uncle to Christ. Joseph of Arimathea. Now, I want us to understand this. The word Joseph simply means he who preserves. How I wish we had a military doctrine so that you understand what I'm talking about. Because when I came in here, I was talking about Psi 32, the most vicious battalion we ever had in the country. Now, you'll understand this very well. A vision of every church is never meant to die on a specific generation. It must move from generation to generation. And for it to move from generation to generation, it needs Joseph, he who preserves a vision. Because Joseph will always rise to the occasion to preserve, protect kingdom agendas. Now, let's check the first Joseph. The Bible says he was given what? A coat of many colors. Once you have a Joseph in a church, you have a man who connects you to the world. Because the coat of many colors talk about what? The entire human race worn by one person. Now, God gave Joseph access code to all races of the world, to all nations of the world. And then again, he gave him a prophetic mandate to stand for Christ and him alone. Now, God gave him a vision in a dream. In that dream, he saw great visions. Why doesn't God give that vision to Judah, who's the king? Judah can't be given a vision because he can't protect it. God knew it, that this one loves money. He's a king, but he loves money. I'll only give this vision to a man who sold out to eat so that it comes to pass. Now, in a church setup, we need people who are sold out to a kingdom vision. Now that I'm talking to a kingdom church, understand this very well. Joseph the first had a vision, and he shared the vision. It triggered hatred and jealousy from the brethren, which was part of the setup. In every structure, there are infights, there are conflicts, there's everything. But Joseph will come out with a vision that will preserve all. Now, I want you to understand this very well. There are challenges in every stages of a church or a ministry. There are levels of servitude in the dimensions, in every church and ministry. You know, for the past, how do I put it? The past 7-8 years, I was literally out of the church into servicing the king on a kingdom dimension. And then, now, immediately when I finished, I did things the opposite. How did I do my things the opposite? Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness. All shall be added. But I was looking to establish a church before I can seek the kingdom. I later discovered that, you know what? I've got a vision for the ministry. I've got, you know, all leadership programs for the ministry. But I never looked for my king. I left everything 8 years back to look for my king. Presented myself to him to say, I missed it. I started things. I don't want my things to look like others. I don't want to paste and copy. I don't want to appear before the world as a powerful man of God. I did not seek you. I know you've got a word for me. I know you've got an assignment for me. You did call me, but I did not seek you first. Now, I had to go back from A, B, C, D of the kingdom for 8 years. The church was no longer growing because I felt I missed it. How did I miss it? I started with the wrong system. And I thought I will do ministry like others. Until I found the Lord, and the Lord started speaking a kingdom agenda for me. And I realized, wow, I would have missed God chasing fame. Chasing to be a great man of God at the expense of a great commission that I did not know of. Now, I had to go back to go to the basics. Lord, I'm looking for you. This is what took Paul the Apostle 3 years, unseen by men, taught by Gamaliel, and he was seeking Christ to know him, and Christ gave him the modus operandi. Now, in most of the cases, we normally used to say, use the quote, that church doesn't have a scroll. It's our prophetic code. When we say a church doesn't have a scroll, we simply say the vision bearer doesn't have a weight of direction from the kingdom. And he can run it, but he will grow tired. And he will get bored because he's doing things out of the line of the kingdom. That's where me and Dr. Kerry chose to say, let's not run for fame. Let's not run for expansion. Let's look for the Lord. You know, it's very easy to fill up a church. You just look for deaf people, pray for them, they fall down, they get healed. Blind people, pray for them, they get healed. People with dialysis, pray for them, they get delivered. The church will be full. But church can be full without you in the presence of the kingdom. It's easy to fill up people in church, but it's difficult to persuade the king for the kingdom scroll, which is the kingdom vision for your people. Now, all these great organizations I've ever seen, their pastors toiled hard to persuade Christ. They did not just encourage prayer, because you cannot just say prayer works. Now, people have been praying and it did not work. Guys like who's this one? The late Paul Yonggi Cho. He started his ministry imitating Oral Roberts until God visited him to say to him, "Man, I've got only one Oral Roberts and one Paul Yonggi Cho." Now, God gave him an assignment for his church that changed the complex of his ministry. Let's come back to this. The first Joseph had an assignment to preserve the 12 tribes and the entire nation of Israel. God raised Joseph when he knew there's a coming 7-year famine, which is called a total wipe out famine. And God had to raise Joseph. If you can check all over the world, the finances will be crashing. The US dollar is, you know, we are living in a very strange world that nobody has ever seen. Life is no longer predictable. We just don't understand what will be the end of the Ukrainian war. A clash between United States of America and China. We are just there. And who do we need in church in times such as this? We need a Joseph. Who's a Joseph? A man who's multi-talented by the kingdom to connect the church to different reservoirs of the kingdom of heaven. What do we need now? Because any time, if any clock can tick, we may be going for a third world war. We may be about to face market crash. But not in the presence of a Joseph. Because it happened during the time of Joseph that famine, which was assigned to kill the 12 brothers, was released. And Joseph marched ahead of the famine to reverse the backlash of famine on the tribe of Israel. They were all preserved. Now, let's look at Joseph. Joseph doesn't deflect on Christ. He doesn't deflect. He doesn't introduce strange doctrines. It's Christ and him crucified. That's the reason why at some point Joseph was taken into a pit. Right? That is Christ dying and Judah took him out. Christ resurrecting. And they took a coat of many colors, which is all nations of the world. And they soak it with blood. The entire nations of the world will be soaked by the blood. This is a man who will introduce the salvation to many. And we do no longer have people who yearn for evangelism amongst us. Let alone telling your closest people about Jesus. Now, who's this Joseph? Joseph is this man who loved to see the whole world immersed under the blood of Jesus. We do no longer have such. It's like the salvation of the Lord is for the exclusive club, where the few will enjoy the presence without impacting even those who are next to them. Now, the other wing of a Joseph, it's soul winning. Now, look at this. When famine came, Joseph saw a vision of famine. And he created what? Silos. Silos. You know silos, your bures, right? Is it silos? Yes. Where food was, cereals were stored for business. And they were stored to sustain both Egypt and the 12 brothers. Because the devil had a program of total wipeout. But prior to the total wipeout of 7 years famine, God released abundance. And who was managing abundance? Joseph. We've got economic challenges. And it's impacting the church because we don't have Josephs. Everyone is impacted by what we are going through financially. And what causes a backlash within the church is because we don't have Josephs who can come with systems within the house that will preserve believers. Even in prayer, let me tell you something. It's very true prophetically that markets will crash, but not completely true. Because once Joseph rises, he can negotiate with God for the postponement. What must be done now? Is the US dollar crashing with all of us? Is America going down with all of us? Yeah? The Eastern Bloc, Russia, China, BRICS, are they coming with a currency which will create a third world war? Because their currency is going to create jealousy with the Western world. And the Western world will say, you can't take over the world like that. They've already started popping balloons. Eh? American M1 A2 SEAP, Leopard tankers of Germany, Leclerc of France are going to Ukraine. That's the declaration of a third world war. And if you can check the foreign policy of the Americans for the first time in history, they are not fighting for democracy, they are not fighting for religion, they are not fighting for anything. They are fighting for business interests of people who are not even citizens of America. You know, it's United States of America is entangled in a different policy. Where they're about to fight wars of non-American citizens. We are in that world. We must face reality now. We are in a different world. And in that world, we need a genius of the kingdom of heaven who will come up with systems that will work for all of us. We need a Joseph who has to say, I've seen this thing. In a vision, and I've got a program to reverse it as I agree with the Lord. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. We cannot just sit and wonder to say there's load shedding. You know, there's load shedding, there's load shedding. South Africa is moving 10 steps backwards. Hey, you are Joseph. Come up with a prophetic direction. It's not the color of your skin that matters. Is who you kneel down to, who matters. And you'll come out with a solution for the nation right now.
We need to be aware of one thing. We haven't seen the church rising above politics. Something Christ displayed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Who is this Christ? Christ is this one who will feed. People did not go to his camp meetings because they loved him. They went to camp meetings because he gave them food. And he was sending a strong message to his church that you got to take over the global economy. Who's this Jesus?
He will sit down with 5,000 men, excluding women and children, and feed them all. He could not dismiss them hungry. What do you see out of that? Where did he learn that from? Who raised Jesus? Joseph. What did Joseph taught Jesus as his stepson? Are we in famine? We are already in famine. Globally. We are already in famine. Now, we are not looking for a Harvard concept right now. Everything has just failed. We are looking for a Joseph of a man of coat of many colors to rise within the church. We need a kingdom-based church that can connect us to the system of the kingdom. You know, even when Jesus blessed food then, the Bible says, and Jesus asked for 2 fish, 5 loaves, 5 fish, 2 loaves. One is right, no? One is right. I don't know, 2 fishes, 5 loaves, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. One is right. You see, the Bible doesn't say, as he prayed, he closed his eyes. No. You know, next time you invite me for lunch by spare, and you order T-bone, ne? And you pray, you close your eyes. Your T-bone will magically disappear into my plate. Magically. Because I'm a man of God. I wouldn't have stolen it. No, I'm a man of God. And I serve a God who performs miracles by the working of the hands of his servants. Now, if it magically appears, it's because there's a mori. Why do you close your eyes while you pray for food? Who told you to do that? Jesus looked heavenwards. I know you're busy closing your heavenly Father. I pray. What are you doing? Look at your neighbor and tell him, stop doing that. Who told you to close your eyes when you pray for food? The Bible says, and Jesus took bread and fish. He looked where? Heavenward. Why did he look heavenward? He was connecting into a never-ending supply which got opened by his great-grandfather Jacob. Jacob, while he was asleep, he dreamt of what? A ladder with angels going up and down. Why were angels going up and down? For legs, knees, and wants to be met. Now, Jesus looked where? The connection which was once opened by his grandfather for an overflow, that uninterrupted abundance. The Bible says they ate and had leftovers. But the issue is, how was Jesus running his ministry? Before we can question how was Jesus running his ministry, we must ask, who raised Christ? The Father is the one responsible. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. And he was raised by God. And he is God, we know. But Joseph played a pivotal role on the ministry of Christ. Now, when we go to churches, we are just spiritual people. Make me feel good. We all fall down and roll and still remain broke. You know, and people who are broke in church have a different amen. I know amen of a broke people and amen of a of financially loaded people. Yeah. If you can see a person in church saying amen like a madman, he's broke.
It's temporarily inconvenient. Now, listen to me very carefully. There are systems we need to connect to.
How many of you understand me right now?
We missed even what Christ brought. Christ brought in financial dominion.
You got to understand one thing. The background of Christ is business. He was raised by a businessman. He grew up in business. And a businessman who raised him, Joseph, we don't know whether he did not die. The Bible doesn't mention of his funeral, which suggests that God took him. And Jesus had to remain with what? The mother and his siblings.
Why did Mary told all those people in the wedding of Cana in Galilee that whatever Christ tells you to do, do it?
Why did he say that?
He saw him performing miracles in her kitchen. Who said to Jesus, the wine is finished? Is it not the mother? Because he knows Ocean Basket, that this man can perform a restaurant miracle right there. Nando's can come. He was something else. Now, what did he say? Whatever he tells you, just do it. Now, where are we? We are nowhere to be found. The devil has raised his own to fill our space. Because we are not spiritual. We are spiritualized. We are full of spiritualized. We fall and rise without change. We are a generation of people who faked the presence of the Lord. And we are busy faking the presence of the Lord, calling it spiritual. And spiritual lies. Now let's come back to us. How's your pocket financially? That's where the devil will hit you so that your worship will be impacted. You worship differently when you are financially not okay. That's the reason why God knew how much what money can do to people. He declared ownership on money by saying what? Silver and gold, it's mine. He declared. He created everything and he gave it to men. But when money was authorized, God said, silver and gold, it's mine. Because he knew how powerful money is to change even the way we worship. And how will people worship money? Even the streets of heaven are made of money. Gold. Because those who enter heaven will have conquered money. And they will walk on top of money. Now, for us to have an understanding of how far this ministry will go in the next 30 years, we need a Joseph. We can't be a one-stream church that is always drunk in the spirit without a financial direction. Now, the first Joseph preserved the 12. That was the assignment. And he displayed who Christ is and how Christ will come. He was given a connection and a network of many lives and many souls. Joseph is this type of a person who can do business with anybody. Because a coat of many colors gave him access to all races, tribes, and nations. Joseph's dreams were always impossible to materialize in the physical world. Satan has took many of us to mediocre life. And we are even embarrassed to dream big.
Because the devil silenced us with challenges and problems. I'm here to awaken a Joseph. Come on. You used to dream big. You used to see yourself big. And you used to think it's you. It wasn't you. It was the Spirit of the Lord. Now, mediocrity was introduced when you started having defeat in many areas of your life. And your program, failure, regression, mediocrity, and you told yourself that you have to adjust your system. And once you successfully adjusted your system, and within your adjustment, God doesn't fit in. He's too big to get into your vision and system. That's where churches are. They've adjusted to what they call reality. When Jesus prayed for people, he displayed power beyond reality. When Jesus supplied people's needs, he displayed means beyond reality. There's a stronghold in churches and in visions called reality. And when Christ saw reality, he codenamed it a mountain. If you can say to this mountain, move out and be casted into a deep blue sea, it will obey. Now, where are you? No, you've got reality. You are normal. You're sober. You understand. You must not be too... That's how the devil defeated you. Where are your old dreams? Where are your old plans? Where are your old visions? Where are your persuade? You are on a slow down. You've slowed down everything. You've downscaled everything. You do no longer even believe certain things God can change. When was it? It was before I met Doc Harry. There was this man. He was an influential ANC member. He was the member of the NEC of the ANC then. And then he got sick. He was not a born-again child of God. He did not want to hear anything about Jesus.